I'm delighted now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Peter Grendel. He's general manager at The Screen, and Brent Cleaver, who is founder of The Screen and director of film programming there. Tonight is the 15th anniversary celebration of this fine movie theater. It's at 7 o'clock. Welcome, gentlemen, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
It's always great to be with you, Mary Charlotte.
So how did this movie theater, and it's a very, very fine place to see movies, how did it get started? Tell us the history, Brent.
Well, I, as you know, have been in Santa Fe for quite some time, since the early 80s, and it founded the Jean Cocteau, and then moved to the Center for Contemporary Arts and the CCA Cinematheque from 86 to 96. At that point, I was teaching, you know, as an adjunct at the film history at the College of Santa Fe, as it was known at the time. And Jonathan Wax was the chair of the Moving Image Arts Department. And we got together and decided to turn one of the sound stages. It was one of the mini sound stages, not the great big one, but one of the mini, as in MINI, sound stages into a movie theater. And we started out on a flat floor and then built a tiered floor, and we got some funding from the Pinewood Foundation, and the rest is history.
Were you involved in kind of designing what it was going to look like and sound like and the size of the screen and all the technical stuff?
Yes. One thing that the space itself lent it to perfection, to a movie theater, lent itself to a movie theater, in that it's a perfect square. So knowing that one thing I wanted was a screen that stretched from wall to wall, basically, the width of the auditorium, and was as far wide as it was long, you could get perfect sound and a perfect sight angles from this type of arbing. Too many theaters were built, you know, too long or too kind of oblong or whatnot. And also the fact that it had been an old sound stage, it had already been soundproofed beautifully. So by adding the curtains in there, it gave you this extra layer. And to this day, I still think it's by far the best sound in town. Not only the best picture, I'm prejudiced there as well, but by far the best sound in town. People are always asking, how do you get, I mean, even visiting filmmakers, how do you get this sound? And a lot of it was that it was an old sound stage that had been soundproofed.
How has the technology evolved over the years?
Well, we were always a two-projector, 35-millimeter Dolby digital sound theater. Okay, the digital sound was way ahead of, obviously, what we know as digital cinema package, which is the digital projectors and whatnot. The two-projector system would allow you to play archive prints from around the world, because most theater chains and multiplexes, whatnot, used platters, which means you had to chop up the film and put them on a platter. Whereas the two-projector system, you take the reels right out of the can, you would look it over, you know, shore up the splices, whatnot, you put it on the projector. So there's very little damage to the film in the process of making it up. So we had this two-projector system, which we still have. We still will be able to play, because there's, not everything's been transferred to digital, and it's going to be a long time before everything is. But as times changed, the nature of the industry's changed, and the days of 35-millimeter prints, as far as newer films, are pretty much gone. And it was either stay up with the times and get digital projection, you know, the digital processors and whatnot, and be able to show, and Peter can explain some of the technology of this better than I can, so I might let him speak to that.
Well, and you know, it all came about 2 years ago, was essentially the tipping point for a lot of movie theaters, and I find it so poetic, because in a lot of cities, you know, the malls, the Regals and Cinemarks would instantly upgrade from 35 to digital because it's much cheaper and it's easier and it doesn't require a projectionist, and you used to ship around hundreds of pounds of film cans for thousands of dollars every day, and now it's a little a hard drive that's, you know, gigantic. And it's very nice in Santa Fe that slowly but surely the North went down, the South went down, the DeVargas's, who knows, when are they closing, right? And yet the CCA upgraded, the screen upgraded, the Jean Cocteau rebooted. All of this is thanks to digital. So we are solely supported by a city that actually is very much proving themselves and voting with their money, blatantly saying, we don't want that mall atmosphere. We want the independent atmosphere. And most cities, this was the exact opposite. The independents would close because they don't have enough money to upgrade. And over here, it's the exact opposite. The malls say, you know, forget Santa Fe. We want to, they're too much into their eclectic stuff, which is gratifying.
Yeah, but I mean, another part of that is not just that whether or not we want the mall atmosphere, we want the movies that you guys are programming,
which
are not the same ones that are at the mall.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, we're afforded that opportunity to play the, you know, and this is where Brent's vision comes into play. I mean, we show stuff that is intended to ruin your day in the best way possible. And apparently there's a city here that really appreciates that. And Brent's that one-of-a-kind person who can find that one-of-a-kind movie, get that one-of-a-kind movie every week, back-to-back-to-back.
And they don't all ruin your day.
in a good way.
What do you mean?
Well, make you think, make you change the way you see movie making, make you, you know, take your tinted glasses off your eyes and say, life is different. Cinema is different.
Right.
I don't have to sit through 2.5 hours of trucks hitting each other, you know, and going to the moon. I can sit down, relax, breathe, and take in a piece of art that happens to be a film.
Brent Cleaver, how did you become a film curator?
Oh, gosh. I basically have been self-taught in terms, I love movies since I was about 3 years old, and I grew up in a one movie theater town in the 50s and 60s, which, believe it or not, changed films 3 times a week, sometimes more than that. And I would live in a movie theater, from the commercial movies to throwaway movies to cheap American international movies. You know, there was everything that could be played could be, except foreign films, because of the small town, and foreign language films hadn't really spread out into the hinterlands at that time. Of course, there was no video. Then I was in college. I ran the Film Society, which ran 3 or 4 different films a week and afforded me opportunities to play. And that was in Tulsa, University of Tulsa, opportunities to play a wide array of films. Then I ran a movie theater in Tulsa for 3 years after that, or 2 years after that, before moving to Santa Fe and buying what was then known as the Collective Fantasy Theater over on Montezuma, which is now the Jean Cocteau. And after some remodeling, it became the Jean Cocteau. I mean, through this time, too, I've also written extensively on film. I've been a movie critic, and I taught at the College of Santa Fe film history since 92, from about 92 to 2008, I taught there. So it's been quite a ride, actually. And I've seen it go through this shift. And one thing that, as Peter was mentioning now, no films are being shot in film, except the occasional Paul Thomas Anderson, or there's a few filmmakers out there that have the power to do it, and, you know, we'll still see how their future films are released, where they transfer to digital, or if they try to find films that can still show film. But 99%, if 0.9%, are shot on digital. So you don't have to transfer it to a print, to 35mm print, so you just get it on a hard drive, you edit it, you do whatever. You can, you know, so it's easier, it's going to make it much more easier for filmmakers to make films. As we've seen, the digital format and shooting things on digital allows, it's cheaper for budding filmmakers. But I always caution people to say, you know, you still have to have an idea. You still have to have a sense of what you're doing. You can't just go out and shoot and hope to make it up in the editing room and think it's all going to make sense. But it does, that does afford the opportunity for people to have more access to equipment. And you know, because filmmaking was prohibitively costly, as you know. But there still is nothing like film, though. Texturally, they're different.
Right, and that's a difference that we have the opportunity to see when you guys bring back, for example, restored 35mm prints and things like that.
Exactly.
Which is going to happen tonight, isn't
tonight,
it?
Yeah.
What's on the agenda for tonight? It's the 15th anniversary of The Screen. We're talking to Brent Cleaver and Peter Grendel of The Screen, which is the cinema on the Santa Fe University of Art and Design campus. So at 7 o'clock, you're going to have a big event to
yes.
celebrate this anniversary.
So tonight we are actually kicking it off, I think, officially a month late. We turned 15 last month.
Well, okay.
You know, Robert Redford couldn't stop playing, so we had to kind of shove it to January. And what we're doing tonight is just a big celebration of, oh my Lord, we're here for 15 years, you know. And The Screen has this wonderful history, you know, of being folding chairs on a cement floor and a roll-up projection screen to where we are now, which is this. You know, we're a top 10 tourist destination in Santa Fe, and that's all just thanks to Santa Fe. So we got a big cake from Chocolate Maven. Okay, they donated us a little cake that should hopefully feed everybody. We have Godfrey Reggio, director of Coin of Scotsy. We have Ally McGraw, the film actress. We have Jonathan Richards, Huffington Post and Pasa Tiempo contributor, all coming out tonight to hopefully say kind words about the theater, as well as Brent will be speaking as well, and I'll be attempting to MC these four massive film personalities. And they'll all be speaking about the theater for what should be a big crowd. In addition to, and here's where it gets exciting, we're going to be playing The Palm Beach Story after that, which is this great Preston Sturges screwball comedy. And the way we'll be showing it is all about reflecting the past 15 and the future 15 years of The Screen, as The Palm Beach Story, of course, is a film from the early 40s shot on film, black and white screwball comedy, precursor to the romantic comedy today. And we'll be showing it in a digital format, so it'll be a scan of the 35mm print, not restored, but a scan, projected digitally. Essentially a film print that will be projected digitally. So if you think about this in poetic terms, we have the past 15, a film print, and the future 15 projected on our new digital projector, which quite honestly, if 35 has to die, this digital projector that we installed a couple months ago, has convinced me that if 35 has to die, which I am not a proponent for, but that there's nothing better that could take its place than what we have installed.
And also, it's interesting because going through this process, we see what the studios are doing, what they're putting of their libraries on DCP. In this case, it's Universal, it's a Paramount picture, but Universal owns certain Paramount titles from 1930 to the late 40s. And what decisions and what makes them decide which ones to do first? That said, we will offer you a way to see this older film shot on film on digital scan projection. And this film was restored a while back. So what we will be seeing is a scan of, you know, when they restored it a few years back. That said, we will still continue to use our 35mm projectors to show archive prints coming up down the road. So I don't want to say we're eliminating that. But for this pretty particular event, Peter and I agreed on, a lot of people haven't seen our new equipment. Let's play both to the past and to the future.
And I think for most of us who are not connoisseurs the way the two of you are, we see a beautiful film projected on a big screen and we're happy.
Then that makes me, because my whole job is fooling you, so this is good.
Well, I wanted to talk to both of you about the state of independent filmmaking today. I mean, we're talking about independent movie theaters, and every once in a while something good comes out of Hollywood. Most of the time, It's just basically killing your brain cells and wasting your time and money and feeding you a lot of juji fruit or whatever. But what about independent filmmaking in the United States? How are we doing? I mean, how has this change in equipment actually affected the ability of filmmakers to make high-quality films and distribute them?
Do you want to take that, Brenner?
Yeah, I'll take a new add-on to it. I think, actually, Manola Dargis, one of the two head film critics of the New York Times, sent out a survey to different theater owners asking this very question. I don't know exactly when her article is coming out to see what she found out, but I know a friend of mine have discussed it who runs a theater in Waterville, Maine, and he's also a small distributor of independent films. And what he's seeing, and what we all see, while there is tenfold more films, because as I mentioned earlier, everybody and their dog can make a film now. And it doesn't necessarily mean there's a mechanism to distribute all this stuff in a coherent way, unless you're still part of a certain number of distributors, or you're connected into a certain number of distributors, and I mean independent distributors. So what you have a lot of times in, say, New York, you'll have 15, 20 films opening each week. And say, for example, the New York Times will prioritize what it reviews and give longer reviews to still your high-profile Hollywood film, or even high-profile foreign language film sometimes, or something that just might interest that particular critic, you know. And that might be on the hypothetical page one of the entertainment section, whereas the other 15 films are staggered toward the back pages, and what might be a 2,000-word review for the bigger films, by the time you get to the film on page 15, it's 300 words. So you're getting a glut. You know, there's an old saying sometimes, you know, too much choice is no choice at all. And in today's society, where we are an attention deficit disorder society by nature, you know, audiovisually, we're just, you know, we can't focus. It's difficult because there are things that come and go, and I'm on the lookout for them that I don't even catch. I'm on the lookout for just about everything out there. There'll be times, you know, that this was released 6 months ago, and I said, what? I didn't even, you know, where was that? Quality-wise, it's, you know, it's probably in this percentile of if there were lesser releases. I mean, you know, you have so much crap, and you have very few great things, and then you have, you know, a good number of mediocre things.
Yeah, and I'd add too. This is where the gems become that much shinier, I think. You know,
yeah.
If digital is here, and it finally is at a place finally where it's, you know, kind of pretty, all right. And in certain circumstances, as long as you pull it off right. But same thing for film. You could overexpose it. You could keep it out of focus. You could, you know, shred it. You could scratch it. You could do terrible things. You know, projection is an art, you know, cinematography is an art, and all of this is still the same, even with digital. You know, there's a lot of things you have to do to a digital projector to make sure the color's balanced right, and so on. So we traded one set of problems for another one. And the only big, huge difference, I think, for independent filmmakers now, and I always tell my students this, is, yay, you can shoot a movie on your iPhone that looks half decent. That's great. It's still not good, okay? You still have to practice. You still have to do your due diligence. Just as Brent was saying before, the talented folks are still out there. The only difference is they traded one thing for another thing. And there's less you have to focus on to actually create that physical form. In the same way a painter, you buy paint, you buy an easel, you buy a canvas, you're finished. All you have to do now is buy a Canon T4, 5, 6i, whatever they're at now, and you can make a movie. The real question is, can you make a good one? So we as a discerning public still now have that same job that we've always had, and that's finding the gems, polishing them. And when you do find a gem, since you're now seeing Netflix, you start the first 5 minutes, you quit, start the first 5 minutes, you quit, finally I found something great. Well, that's you being your very own curator at home, you know.
Right.
You know, and digital brings that home, but also, in a way, just as Brent says, makes our job a little bit harder because there's more stuff out there, but also makes that chase and catch, and then final kill of finding that great film, showing it, having an audience for it, it's just infinitely more gratifying, I think, today to really find that. It really opened up the world to a lot of things. And the same way it's always been, you see a lot of bad stuff, and when you finally find something great, it's just much, much, much more satisfying. But that's also why we need independent theaters that curate these things for folks. And you can trust your programmer. And the reason the screen is what it is because, Brent's a genius. That's all.
Well.
And I would concur with that statement. And I want to thank you both so much for being with us. Brent Cleaver is founder of The Screen. He's director of film programming there. Peter Grendel is general manager. The Screen is the cinema on the campus of the Santa Fe University of Art and Design. And tonight at 7 o'clock is the 15th anniversary celebration. And as you said earlier, there'll be cake and speeches, and Ali McGraw and Jonathan Richards and Godfrey Reggio will all be there. We've got quite a wonderful cast of characters here in this town. And then we will watch the film The Palm Beach Story from 1942.
Yes.
and we will see you there. Brent Cleaver and Peter Grendel, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Schott.